Am I the only one here tonight? Shaking my head and thinking something ain't right. Is it just me? Am I losing my mind? Am I standing on the edge of the end of time? Am I the only one? Tell me I'm not. Who thinks of taking all the good we got and turning it bad? Hell, I'll be damned. I think I'm turning into my old man. Am I the only one willing to bleed or take a bullet for being free? Screaming, what the hell at my TV for telling me, yeah. Am I the only one not brainwashed? Making my way through the land of the lost, who sees it as it is and worries about his kids as they try to undo all the things he did. Am I the only one who can't take no more screaming? If you don't like it, there's a freaking door. This ain't the freedom we've been fighting for. It was something more, yeah, it was something more. Am I the only one willing to fight for my love of the red and white and the blue? Burning on the ground, another statue coming down in a town near you. Watching the threads of old glory come undone. The only one.
This is Global Patriot Radio.
Hey, welcome to the Vito Esposito Show with Big Al, starring the godfather of Global Patriot Radio, the dawn of dissenting discussion, the Italian infidel himself, Vito Esposito. Him and his hitman, Big Al, are here to whack the leftists, shake down the Democrats, and put out a contract on all the jihadis that are messing with the American family. And if you got what it takes to be a wise guy, you can get made right here on the show by dialing 319-527-6706. So, get ready to go to the mattresses and say, Mamma Mia, no Sharia, because Vito and Big Al are going to give you a radio show you can't refuse.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call-in number tonight in every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that no-pork-eating America lover, Al. How you doing, Big Al? What's going on?
I am terrific, and it is great to be here as always.
How are you? It is Monday. I'm doing okay. You know, hanging in there. Not doing as good as Jason Kokrak. That's all I got to say. Jason Kokrak took over the Houston Open yesterday at Memorial Park Golf Course in Houston, Texas. We got a couple of Texans in there, and he took over the tournament yesterday afternoon, and no one can touch him. He won for the third time in the last 18 months on the PGA Tour. This is a guy who went 267 tournaments. I was 240 tournaments without winning a tournament. Now he's learned how to win, and it was absolutely fantastic play. He putted great all day, made some clutch pars to hold off the field, and he won by two strokes over America's Scottie Scheffler, who kind of he wilted. He was in the lead, but he wilted. And Kevin Tway and Kokrak shot a final round 5 under 65, and to win the first place purse of $1.35 million. So that was some great play. Did you watch
that? You said, "Oh, of course I did." And you said something very interesting. You said he learned how to win.
Yes.
Many people don't win. Many people try to win. Many people fail to win. What does that mean? He learned how to win.
You don't get in your own way. You maintain that aggression, but you still play course management, and you don't be afraid to miss. And that's the thing that. That's something that a lot of people struggle with, a lot of golfers struggle with, that you're afraid to miss. And it sounds weird, but it is true. I mean, you've got a – okay, so you got a 10-foot putt. Let's just say a 15-foot putt for birdie. Or Mickelson yesterday had a 35-foot putt downhill for a birdie. And it's very crucial that he two putts at worst, because he's got a one-shot, two-shot lead going into 18. He knocks it to within 2 feet. And that was a putt. He stroked it. So Jason Kokrak was stroking his putts, and it didn't matter if the putt went, a foot by or 2 feet by. He was going to try to make the putt. He wasn't going to try to be defensive. And it's just like, the NFL, when you play that prevent defense, you prevent yourself from winning. And it's just like golf. These guys, you got to play aggressive. You got to stay in the moment. You have to know your limitations, but not be afraid to take the shots that you've been taking all day. Because as soon as you change that mentality, then you're playing from behind. And Lexi Thompson does that. I think she does that. Something happens where she breaks down when she gets in the lead, and she misses a lot of putts, or she'll make a dumb bogey, just like Mickelson did. So Kokrak was knocking at the doorstep, he was on that doorstep, knocking at the door many times during those first 250 tournaments. But once he figured out how to win, he was not fearful of winning. He was going to play his game and stick to it. Does that make sense?
Perfect. It's a reason I asked is it's a whole dynamic that people don't ever really talk about. Winning, learning how to win, and we also learn how to lose. And we make subconsciously, we can make ourselves lose, whether it be in sports or poker, or like you said, you get up and you're in the comfort zone, you're playing with the house money, so you get a little reckless, you lose your concentration. Or at work, you're doing really well, and then you do something incredibly stupid. And then you fall down, and then you're at the bottom of the barrel again. And you got to fight your way back. It's a whole learning how to win is very difficult, and this is a lesson learned early in life. Few people ever talk about it, so it's interesting that you bring that up. Well stated.
I think I'm guilty of it as well, at playing defensively. And I think I did it in the last, in a qualifier, I pulled a Colin Montgomery. And the one thing that's really bad is, and it's really good to have a good caddy by your side, is when you have a delay and you're playing in a certain mode and you see things, you got to make sure that caddy keeps you in that moment. And I use Colin Montgomery as an example in the 2005 U.S. Open, where Phil Mickelson, they were playing at Bethpage Black, and Phil Mickelson was in the lead when he hit that errant tee shot. you know, people don't realize that Colin Montgomery was right there too. And Colin Montgomery had committed to this shot, and then they had a delay. Somebody took some extra time, and he went back to the bag, and he put the club back in the bag, but he took a different club out, and he decided to go with a shorter club, and he missed the green. And he always harkens back to he should have stayed with the same club he had, but he had too much time to think. And that happens a lot, too. That's also part of the winning process. And it could be the reason why Montgomery never won on American soil. Because he couldn't close the door. But the guy's got like 40 wins internationally. You know, how can you win in a PGA? So.
Mm-hmm. Like you said, Kokrak, 27 struggling losses. And then he still kept at it, kept coming back, coming back, coming back, getting the card, losing the card, getting the card, losing the card. That's perseverance. And even Nelly Korda had some of that today, this weekend as well. She had to overcome a time delay. And our friend Holger mentioned it. Boy, did they rip him a new one on Twitter, but I think he's 100% right.
Man. Nelly Korda had she was going along. She's leading the tournament yesterday, and she's playing good all weekend, takes over on Saturday, triple bogeys the 17th hole. But you know what? This also talks about the maturity. She's only 23 years old, and here she goes to the 18th hole. She has to make a birdie in order to get into the playoff, and she just had a train wreck on 17th hole. She's got a three-shot lead, mind you. She's got a three-shot lead with two holes to play. And she blows it on one hole, and she makes it into the playoff. And then the very first playoff hole with four, it's a four-way tie, Lydia Ko, Lexi Thompson, and Se-young Kim. And Nelly birdies the first playoff hole to win the Pelican Women's Championship yesterday. Amazing. This girl's got some genes, man. She really does. She's got her dad was a world-class tennis player on the TPA for years, Peter Korda. She's only 23, but you know what? She has got that gene. She knows how to win. And yesterday's meltdown on 17 and to come back and win, that can go a long way in her career, and she's young.
Yep.
Did you watch
it? Great weekend of golf. Yes, I watched that too. At least the last, the last hour or two of it. I missed all the drama going into it, but I caught the end.
But wow, you're a golfing fool.
Well, I learned how to struggle.
Yeah.
Every time I go out, I struggle.
You know. I'm going to use this point of privilege in this next.
I was a plus 10 though this weekend on Saturday, so I won a little bit of money. That was good.
Very nice. Yeah. Good shooting.
Mm-hmm.
You were hitting the ball well.
I slowed the swing down, took a full turn, felt that stretch in my left leg hamstring, and I knew that I was there as soon as I felt that little stretch. Turned my shoulders, and then that came in very handy, very helpful.
Dang, very good. Good for you, man. That's all right.
Yeah. Hey, it's an improvement, but I can't keep it up all the time. It drives me crazy. It's so easy, yet it's so hard.
Well, one more thing on golf, and we'll stop boring people, but I got to say this. did you watch any of the Champions Tournament yesterday? After the Houston Open?
I saw highlights, and that was it.
All right. So I watched that as well. And Phil Mickelson, you know, came behind. He won the tournament. He played really well. He ends up winning by one shot over over a rookie New Zealander and from down under there, and Belly might know him. But Stephen Auker, there's a guy who would go for broke on the 18th hole, has got a 250-yard shot over water, and he takes it, and then you know, gets it near the or on the green. Anyways, Phil Mickelson wins the tournament yesterday, and it was the final tournament for the entire year for who would win the Charles Schwab Cup. So it comes down to Jim Furyk is Bernard Langer's in the lead. He's the leader of the Charles Schwab Cup. That's an additional bonus of $1 million paid immediately, you know, for the year. And there's a bonus structure for how you place. Jim Furyk, though, is one shot behind. He's got to do is he's got to finish tied for second or in second place on his own, and he wins the Charles Schwab Cup. He knocks Bernard Langer into second place. Just absolutely cool as cucumbers. Furyk birdie 17. Now he is 16 under. He's got to get to 17 under. Comes to the par 5, 18th hole. Pulls his second shot. Ends up parring the hole and ends up tied for third, which means that Bernard Langer wins the Charles Schwab Cup, okay, and the $1 million. So fast forward to the acceptance speeches, and then, you know, Phil thanks everybody, you know, congratulates Bernard Langer for his win. Bernard Langer, I am telling you, this guy is a class act. What really impressed me is this guy's 64 years old. He's played every tournament this year on the Champions Tour, every tournament. He almost backed out or withdrew from the Charles Schwab tournament this weekend because of a bad back. It was a four-rounder, and Thursday his back was absolutely killing him. But he persevered, and he ended up, I think, tied for 11th, which was enough to keep him in first place, and Jim Furyk could only knock him out. Anyways, during his acceptance speech, Bernard Langer was so gracious in victory. I'm telling you, I don't know why, but I was moved by his speech. I was moved for the fact that he was a class act. He was respectful of everybody, all the PGA guys who played, the senior guys. In addition to that, he specifically lauded Jim Furyk and his, you know, and his play for the whole weekend, including making it very exciting and coming down to the last hole, you know, the 72nd hole on the last day to determine the winner. You know, I'm very happy that I won, but I also want to give, you know, thanks and I want to acknowledge the excellent play of Jim Furyk. And, you know, it was just, to me, it was really something that we don't see a lot of class anymore in sports. Mm-hmm. Bernard Langer is the epitome of class, and congratulations to Mr. Langer for winning the Charles Schwab Cup, but even more so for lauding the volunteers, the course maintenance crew, the fans, and what really kind words he said about Jim Furyk and his excellent play. So I just had to say that. I thought it was really, really, really cool what he did.
Well, he earned it without a doubt. Like you said, he's there every tournament and winning and just continually winning. He's learned how to win,
uh-huh.
And he's learned how to win with class. And that is a rarity.
Yeah. And this is like the third time he's won the Charles Schwab Cup, too, third or fourth time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's 64 years old, and the guy plays freaking great. Oh, my God. And he keeps himself fit. So.
Yeah. And he's a big Christian and very strong in his faith and good family man. Even the dogs like him. He's a good guy. He's a good guy. 64.
64.
Gives hope for us old guys. I think it's
yeah,
awesome.
When we get there. We can still play golf when we get that age out.
Go on, put the tennis balls on my walker. We're going out.
I can take my club with me. Hey, and speaking of classless, though, you have to give kudos to Twitter for the classless award. Former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo had tweeted out an article. It was from J-Post, and the article was titled U.S. Changes Its UN Vote from No to Abstention on UNRWA. And it was granting Palestinian refugees the right to return to Israel. So Mike Pompeo tweets out at Joe Biden, refuses now at the UN to defend the fact that Israelis are not occupiers. Shame, dot. Jerusalem is the eternal capital of the Jewish homeland, period. This UN vote would lead to the Jewish state's end, and the U.S. under Biden voted with enemies of Israel. And guess what the Twitter censors did? They deleted the tweet. So the fascists at Twitter are okay with the with Jerusalem not being acknowledged as the eternal capital of the Jewish homeland. The Twitters at fascist are okay with calling Israel the occupiers, and they deleted Mike Pompeo's tweet. I mean, you know, if anybody understands foreign policy and Israel and the Israelis and the Gazans, it's Mike Pompeo. And for the Twitter fascist to delete his tweet when he's expressing a fact, it just shows how far the left wing will go to silence speech in America. It's pretty sickening. I don't know if you happen to see that tweet, but.
Yeah, I did. Made my, what little hair I had left, stand up. And let me, in 1 minute, let me tell you what happened with these Israelis. 1948, they were granted statehood. The day they were granted statehood, they were attacked by all the Arab countries that surrounded them. The young country of a month or two kicked the Arabs' asses, took additional land in 48. They still didn't control, and Jordan still controlled half of Jerusalem from 48 to 67, kept the Jews out. Used snipers to kill Jews that went into certain areas of Jerusalem. And then come 1967, there was another war. Israel won. Israel took all of Jerusalem in this war. They kicked ass again, kicking all the Arabs who fought them. And then they took complete control of Jerusalem, the West Bank, which is Judea and Samaria, which is now considered occupied. They also took Gaza and the Sinai Peninsula. And then comes 73, the Yom Kippur War, the war that Israel nearly lost, and it was a close one, but Israel won again and took more land. Israel ended up giving back the Sinai Peninsula, which in square miles was equal to or more than the land that they originally had in 1948 and expanded to 67. This is the occupied territory is won in battle. There is no occupied territory because Israel won Judea and Samaria or the West Bank and Gaza because Israel tried to give Egypt Gaza, but they didn't want it because they hate the Palestinians too. It's how crazy it all is. So anybody who says that Israel is an occupying force are idiots and they have learned how to be stupid. And remain stupid or willfully stupid or willfully just Jew-hating, anti-Israeli bigots. And I think it's the latter.
I agree. 100%.
And that is your minute on Israel.
You summed up, you know, 50, 70 years pretty quickly there, my friend. So in the chat room, Joe Biden says Jack Dorsey is a creep, just a flat-out creepy dude, just saying. So come on, man. It keeps getting better. I mean, you know, this is how this left wing and their Jew and Israel hating mentality is somehow acceptable by the fascists of Facebook and the fascists of Twitter. So it's pretty disgusting.
Let me tell you how brilliant President Trump was when he brought this Abraham Accords that we heard so much about but don't hear about anymore. He understood. See, the Muslims, they have two groups, the Sunni and the Shia, and they hate each other. The Shia are the Iranians. The Sunnis are Saudi Arabia and the Middle Eastern Jordanians. They're primarily Sunnis. Well, these Sunnis and these Shias have been killing each other for 1,400 years. And there's no end in sight. President Trump understood, hey, we can use their infighting to Israel's benefit. Because the Sunnis, that would be Jordan, Saudi Arabia, they're scared to death of Iran because Iran, if they get nuclear weapons, they're going to unleash them on the Saudi Arabians, and they know it because they hate each other. So in their world, who do you hate more, the Jews of Israel or the Iranians? President Trump thought correctly and that the Sunni Arabs would rather join forces with the Israelis against the Iranians and then let the Israelis do their heavy lifting and dirty work. In return, the Sunni Arabs would stop funding the Palestinians, making them essentially irrelevant, and you didn't hear a peep out of them until this new administration came in and started funding the Palestinians again, talking about a two-state solution, and then talking about bringing a consulate to Jerusalem again to cause even more trouble. So put that in your hookah and smoke it.
And again, Donald J. Trump was on the correct side of history. And, you know, you know that the left wing is trying to undo everything that President Trump did. And it's pretty sad mm-hmm. because he actually did seek peace and wasn't afraid and didn't pull out and wasn't afraid to hit this head on. And guess what? When they ran into an obstacle, what did they do? They told the Palestinians, you're the problem. If you want to come to the mm-hmm. table, these are our demands. And he didn't bow to them.
Yeah. And Iran was scared, too, because they knew the Americans had Bagram and they could use that as a staging area, in addition to Saudi Arabia. Oh,
you know,
we don't have Bagram
show,
anymore.
Well, yeah. And that was, yeah. But again, there you go. There was another blunder by Biden, you know, one of the many that the buffoon has already put America through. And speaking of Israel, Holger sent this. Hezbollah planned to murder Israeli in Colombia to avenge Soleimani. Target said to have been ex-diplomat and intelligence operative Mossad. Officials reportedly visited country amid fears of rising terror activity. So the religion of peace is striking again. And isn't it funny how Iran is going after Israel for the Soleimani a hit, you know, taking out Soleimani, but they certainly didn't go after President Trump or dare take on President Trump. So the cowards of the theocratic terrorist regime of Iran. Hezbollah planned to assassinate an Israeli national in Bogota as part of an operation that also targeted Americans to avenge the January 2020 killing of Iran's Al-Quds Force commander, General Qassem Soleimani, a Colombian newspaper reported on Sunday. The El Tiempo newspaper said the Israeli targeted by the Lebanese terror group was a former intelligence officer who had been stationed in the city as a member of the diplomatic corps, then opened a company involved in the import and sale of surveillance cameras and technologies. The report, citing unnamed sources in Colombia's military intelligence service, said Israeli Mossad security service discovered that the businessman had been spied on at a number of locations. And the Colombian Daily said an intelligence dossier on the matter, including information provided by Mossad, indicated that in addition to the Israeli, members of the U.S. delegation in the city were under surveillance by the terror group. The report said Colombian authorities were notified that the evidence indicated that the Israeli was going to be assassinated and that the group was additionally spying on the foreigners in the Colombian Dal. The newspaper said Israeli national was quickly whisked out of Bogota back to Tel Aviv. So the religion of peace strikes once again. And it just seems like, you know, Iran funding Hezbollah, funding terror, and of course we know that the tri countries in South America, Brazil, Argentina, and Uruguay are the chief training grounds for Mossad, and I'm sorry, for Hezbollah and Iran funding the terrorist camps in the tri-country region of Brazil, Argentina, and Uruguay.
Wait a minute. That's where all of these illegal aliens are coming into America from.
Jeez. Oh, my. What a coincidence. That's an absolute coincidence. Who would have thunk that? Wow.
Other than Mexicans. Could Hezbollah be coming in over our border? I would think so.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And no one's talked
about
that part for the 20 years.
No, think about it. They've got two or three generations. They're dark-skinned. They look like they are of Hispanic descent, especially after two generations. What great operatives to bring these Shia Muslims. Remember the Shia? That's Iran. They hate Saudi Arabia. They hate America. They hate everybody. Well, they're coming in over our border.
Yep. They are. All the reports back in 2010, that as far back as I can remember, is 2010, with the Border Patrol agents finding prayer rugs and Korans at the border, is true. I mean, what do you think? Why are these terrorists being trained? They're trained to come into America and infiltrate. Exactly what's happening in the UK. The UK is monitoring 23,000 on the list, and yet they weren't able to uncover one bomber who was not on the list. We'll get to that in a minute, because this is leading up to I have to bring this up. So there's a representative. Her name is Pramila Jayapal. She is the Congressional Progressive Caucus Chair. Now, the Progressive Caucus is a code word for a Communist Caucus Chair. And this genius, and you all know who she is, she's an agitator. She's an anti-American. She's an anti-capitalist. She's an anti-free enterprise. She's pro-socialist. She's pro-Marxist. And basically, she's a communist. And she was on Meet the Depressed with Todd, and they were discussing the Build Back Broke bill, which is the transportation boondoggle, or the reckless spending bill. And then Chuck Retard asks Jayapal about gas prices. And, you know, if it's not just flat out insulting, the arrogance, the hubris of these leftists who just sit there and they lie right to your face. I mean, they tell you that, you know, the sky is not blue when you're looking up and it's a clear blue sky, and they say, well, it's really yellow from, you know, climate change. And or they'll give you some, you know, some slogans and sound bites. And they are truly the masters of slogans, sound bites, and deceit. Well, Representative Pramila Jayapal is giving some bullshit answer to the rise in gas prices. And she goes on for about a minute and a half. And you have to listen to this. Now, please, if you're eating something, I suggest that you put it down and you finish chewing. We'll give you some time because it's loading up right now, and I got about a minute before it goes back on. And just listen to this non-answer. It's a simple question, and I'll tell you, Al. I was talking to some friends of mine, and I was talking to a relative, and she went absolutely ballistic. And it's ballistic in a sense that this really completely shows how out of touch these communists are, and how they try to two-step and sidestep and avoid and deflect the true answer, okay, the issue of gas prices. And I don't have to tell everybody here in the chat room. You know, when President Trump was in office, we were looking at $1.89 a gallon. $1.90 a gallon, $1.99, and now it's up to $5.99, $5.79, $6 a gallon in California, you know, $3.50 a gallon, $3.30 a gallon in Florida. In Texas and you know, Georgia's now at $3.10, $3.12 a gallon. I mean, this is how out of touch, but this is how they sanitize this bumbling buffoon Biden and how he's botched the whole energy. But it's all by design, and how he intentionally botched it. Nobody can be this stupid. And it's got to be all by design. So here is Pramila Jayapal and Chuck Todd of Meet the Depressed And it's going to start in a couple of seconds here, so you may have a little bit of overlap, but this is when it gets into asking her about the gas prices.
That will still get you to the goal that you are pushing for. Our goal was to pass Build Back Better through the House, and I'm very confident we will do that next week.
Here you go.
Is there anything you think the administration or you in Congress should attempt to do to alleviate the gas price pain temporarily?
Well, I know I was listening to your segment. I know that the administration is looking at all the options on the table. But again, I want to say that it isn't – the gas price is an indication for families of other things that they are feeling. It isn't really that you have to reduce the gas price. What you have to do is reduce the cost for families so that they can manage. Now, we just cannot gloss over the fact that wages have also risen. So the actual impact that people are feeling right now is real, but it is also smaller. It's the fear that people have. So what can we do to alleviate that fear and any increase that they are seeing? It doesn't have to be through lowering gas prices. That's what I'm saying with Build Back Better. If we lower costs, that's what a family is looking at. That's what my families are saying is, look, you know, the gas is one thing, but if I can get my child care paid for, heck, I'm in. You know, I'm good for that. So that's, I think that's how we should be looking at it. And sometimes the economic views of inflation or, you know, massive rises in inflation, that's not really how people experience things on the ground. And I just think that's important to keep in mind.
I haven't talked to you since the election.
Wow. Did you hear that? I mean, she replied, it isn't really that you have to reduce the gas price. What you have to do is reduce the cost for families. That reducing cost doesn't have to be through lowering gas prices. That's what I'm saying with Build Back Broke. If we lower costs, that's what a family is looking at. Well, excuse me, but if you're going to be dishonest, any more dishonest, when you lower the cost of gas and when gas is at a lower price, that means that families were paying less. That means that individuals were paying less. That means that working Americans were paying less at the pump, less out of their pocket. So the destructive Democrat Communist Party are the most dishonest and illogical people on the planet and the most deceptive individuals as well. I'm sorry. This is the dumbest, deceptive, meaningless answer anyone from the U.S. Congress can give, including the communist Pramila Jayapala. It isn't really that you have to reduce the gas price. What do you think Americans are looking at when they fill up their vehicles? They're just looking at the total gallons that they put into their car? Do these communists in Congress think working families don't take note of the increased cost of filling their gas tanks? You don't think that mom and dad with a family of four with two vehicles who sees the tank fill up increase by $15 to $20 per vehicle doesn't matter per week? Mom and dads are filling their cars once a week at a $15 increase per vehicle. That's $60 per month per vehicle, right off the top of their budgets. And the dishonest dimwit Jayapal says it really isn't about the reducing of gas prices. I mean, this is how they're sanitizing Joe Biden. This is how they're sanitizing the buffoon Biden and botching energy in America. America was energy independent, and now we're dependent upon OPEC, and she cites as well as the supply demand. How about the 54% increase of heating fuel oil, huh? You don't think that working families, that the American family doesn't feel the impact of a 54% increase in heating fuel oil for this winter? Well, it's not about reducing the cost of heating fuel oil for families. Well, let me tell you, I called up a friend of mine, PM, and asked her if she doesn't feel the impact of the 54% increase in heating oil on top of the 57% rise in gas at the pump. I mean, how stupid does Primo Jarafal think the American people are? Well, the communists in Congress think we the people are pretty damn stupid. Oh, and before we get into her next demented and twisted comments, what about the impact on business who delivers goods to the retailers and the impact of higher gas prices? Child care tax credit means nothing to businesses. You increase the cost of transportation to the grocery store in the form of gas prices. It takes more for the grocer wholesale to transport goods to the grocery store. And you know, the Kroger's, the Safeway's, the public supermarkets are all impacted by higher fuel costs. And when they transfer to passing the cost onto the consumer, that leads to higher prices in the supermarket. So yes, it is about higher gas prices, especially when the rise is 55, 60, sometimes 75%, depending on what part of the country you're in. What an arrogant ignoramus. And here's more of what the genius Jayapal stated. Jayapal stated, they are not talking about inflation, by the way. Well, no, of course they're not talking about inflation. This is the highest it's been in 50 years. They're talking about, hey, I don't have enough money in my budget to pay for things I need to pay for, like gas, like heating, fuel oil, like groceries. I mean, what the hell is wrong with this woman? And the reason I say it that way is because it's really important to understand that if you're on a fixed budget, as many people are, and I have been in my life, then what you're always trying to do is balance what you have to spend with what you have in the budget. Yeah, like going to fill up your car with gasoline and realizing that it's $15 more now. Realizing it's $20 more now. Realizing that's $80 per car that's taken out of your budget, you dimwit. The way that we can fix this immediately, while the supply chain issues are being worked out, supply chain issues. See that? There's another buzzword. There's another catchphrase. There's another slogan by the Democrat Communist Party. It's the supply chain, ladies and gentlemen. No, it's the buffoon in the White House, and it's the communists in Congress. Okay, so the way that we fix that immediately while the supply chain issues are being worked out, while the economy recovers from COVID and the worst economic downturn we've seen in recent history, is we can actually help families cut their costs. Like, okay, so Jayapal, how about cutting the cost of fuel? When we were energy independent under the last administration, the previous administration, that would be President Trump, administration, we had more money in our pockets because gas was not draining our checkbook. How do we do that? We passed Build Back Broke Act. And she fixated on child care credits. Well, you tell me, if you're a family, a husband and wife who just got married, and you're buying a home or you've bought a home, or maybe you can't even afford to buy a home, but you just started your life out and you have no children, the child care tax credit means shit to you. It means absolutely nothing. If you're a couple that's in your 50s, let's say, and your children have all left the nest, they've married off, and now it's just you and your wife and both of you are working 5 days a week, 60 hours a week, you're driving to and from work, you're filling up both of your vehicles, your child care tax credit means nothing. Now you're building back broke, and it's a communist wet dream. And they've lied to you once again. So the DNC sent out their talking points to their fellow communists like Pramila Jayapal and told their mouthpieces to make sure that you incorporate, one, the slogan supply chain issues. And you notice that the Democrat Communist Party are all out there talking about supply chains, including Baghdad Bob Jensaki, including Pramila Jayapal, including anybody in the U.S. Senate, including, oh yeah, Chuckie Schumer and all of the mouthpieces out there. It's all about the supply chain now. It's all about the supply chain. You know, when the economy was roaring, we had a 3.3% unemployment rate and people were working and we had the highest employment rate since what, the 1960s, the 1950s, and everybody was working. That means they were consuming gas. We didn't have a supply issue. No supply chain issue. And gas was at $1.89 a gallon, $1.99 a gallon. Oh, and some of the fucking geniuses on Twitter, so the average was $2.14 around the country. which meant that in California, it might have been $2.80 a gallon, but in Florida, it was $1.90 a gallon. And in South Carolina, it was like $1.54 a gallon at one point. When you average that out, it averaged out to $2.14 or $2.08 a gallon, averaging out. But if you're lucky enough to be living in South Carolina and you were paying $1.58 a gallon, you're loving life. You had more money to go out to a restaurant and be served by a server. You had more money maybe to go on a weekend excursion with your loved one. Maybe you had more money to put into the bank. Maybe you had more money to invest back in your business. You see, the Democrat Communist Party is anti-capitalist, they are anti-free enterprise, and they are anti-American. You blame COVID at every chance you get. You blame the supply chain being an issue. Then you build back broke. And you make sure that you invoke the Build Back Broke Act, okay? Because everything is about build back broke. These people are so dishonest. They're so disingenuous, and they're programmed to give some BS convoluted filibustered answer, just like Primal Jayapala. I mean, it's absolutely insane what we are seeing from these people and hearing, and this is the epitome of arrogance and hubris by telling people that we're going to save you money, and it's not that you're paying higher prices at the pump. Some people are paying $5.89 a gallon who are paying, what, $3 a gallon, $2.80 a gallon under Trump in California, and now they're paying $5.89. That's a little bit more than 57% increase. You do the math. If you were paying $1.90 a gallon in Florida and you're now paying $3.30 a gallon, that ain't a 57% increase. And it's not a supply chain issue. It's the fact that we have a green new scam, and this green scam deal that the buffoon Biden is immersing the United States into is making sure it's breaking the people's pocketbooks. It's breaking their wallets, and it's going to force everyone to buy electric cars in their sick, demented minds. And they're making fuel at the gas pump to be very, very expensive and painful. And it's all by design. This didn't happen overnight. This didn't happen just because Joe the buffoon Biden got elected. This was the plan all along. And Donald Trump interrupted that plan, and now they're making the American people pay. And they're using campaign slogans and deceitful slogans like Build Back Better. Well, it's called Build Back Broke because that's what they're doing. They're breaking the American people's wallets and pocketbooks. And it's pretty damn sad. And chimpanzees like Primal Jayapal, who goes on national TV and then states, well, it's not about rising gas prices being a problem. No? What is it then? How much more are you going to insult the American people? God. I don't know if you had a chance to watch her on Chuck Retard's show, but...
She's a Marxist. She's behaving as Marxists do. Why are you so surprised?
Well, why am I surprised? And I'll tell you why am I surprised. You know, I understand that the deceitfulness of the Democrat Party. I understand that how destructive the Democrat Party is. And you listen to Chuck Todd in the background. Listen to him. And she is – you got Jayapal saying it isn't really that you have to reduce gas prices. What you have to do is reduce the cost for families. And he goes, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, is he that stupid as well? I mean, really, these left-wingers, are they that dumb? I mean, they have bought into this communist movement, this Marxist movement. They have bought into this garbage. This is so phony. It's absolutely insane that they could sit there and they would laud this type of dumb mentality. It's a flat out lie. And then to sit there and say, well, you know, we're going to give child care tax credits because that's what's meaningful to working families. Wait a minute. You don't get the child care tax credit until you file your taxes. What do you do? Do you walk to work now for the whole year until you get that supposedly get that check back? And what happens if you don't have kids? Huh? What happens if you're right at that cusp of between 58 and 65 years old and you still have to work? You're a working stiff because of the sales job by this government that of social insecurity. And you have no kids. The child care tax credit means absolutely squadoosh. What does impact you is going to the gas pump and paying $3.30 a gallon, $3.80 a gallon, $3.99 a gallon after paying $1.89 a gallon just 10 months ago. What does impact you is that now when you call that the oil man and you say, I need you to fill up my 220-gallon oil tank for the winter, and you know it's only going to last you 3 months. Well, we had a 54% increase. Well, give me a fucking child care tax credit. That's going to really solve a lot. In the meantime, your gas bill has gone from $189 to $270. It's gone to $320. And somehow we're supposed to accept that because that's not about increasing prices. Okay? It's not about increasing prices. No, oh, really? Oh, okay. So I'm going to spend $103 more than I spent last year, but that's not really an increase. So, okay, that's good. I'll accept that. Yeah, the answer, that's right, because Jayapal told me that it's not going to increase my cost. Oh, that's funny. I've got $3 left in my checking account. Last year, I had, under Trump, I had $800 left in my account because I just got done paying my oil bill. I got done paying my gas card, and then I got done buying groceries. Wow. Look at that. My grocery bill went from $89 to $162. Huh. My gas bill went from $81. It's costing me $142. I guess it's not an increase, though. Because I am getting a child care tax credit.
Yeah. Well, Jay Paul needs to tell that to the trucker who is now paying 40 to 50% more for diesel fuel to run his truck. And he can't talk about supply chain issues that are destroying our country right now or making things quite difficult. She just made it harder on the truckers. It's a national security risk, which she just did. Or was a party to or supported.
Exactly.
Reckless. These Marxists are reckless, and they don't care, or else they do care, and they do know, and that this is what their goal is to create a little chaos and a little discomfort for mom-and-pop America.
Well, exactly. Exactly. It's to take more out of your pocket. And therefore, you don't have a lot in your pocket. So therefore, we'll take it, and we will spend it, and then we'll tell you what to think. And so that trucker, who now is spending $160 more for gas, for diesel fuel for his tractor trailer, he's just supposed to eat that. You know, he's supposed to if he fills up his truck every 4 days, every 3 days. And he's spending $170 more fill-up. He's just supposed to eat that. And what's happening is these truckers are adding that transportation cost onto the goods. And then, of course, the retailer, what he's doing is he is not absorbing and eating that $170. He is now passing it on to the consumer at higher cost. But, you know, these communists don't see that because the communist government can print money ad nausea, and they don't really give a crap about how much it impacts the debt, especially with this big build back broke mentality. And therefore, the trucker should eat the increased cost. The retail store should eat the cost. And it's okay if the consumer is going to eat the cost because it's not actually spending any more money. It's not about increase of gas prices. It's not about increase in fuel oil. I mean, increase in heating oil of 54%. Think about that. And the families, who cares if you get a child tax care credit? It doesn't matter because you're not going to get it until April, file it in April. Who cares? We're talking about right now. You've increased the heating oil by 54%.
When people are most vulnerable, because there's North American global cooling climate, or North American cool climate cooling change going on.
Yeah.
We're all so vulnerable, and they're screwing around with our oil costs. People are going to die, Vito, die.
Isn't that what they want, though? They want population control. Isn't that the globalist movement?
I don't know about that. But the cost of heating oil is going to go way up.
Yes, it is.
Budgets across the country are going to get seriously stretched. Little Johnny's not going to be able to eat.
Well, it's all because of COVID. It's all because of COVID, Al.
Yeah, no more cherry Slurpees for little Johnny. That's it. Something's got to give.
You got to it. You want a Slurpee? Oh, yeah, that's right. What's going to give?
Oh, you're making an Indian 7-Eleven Slurpee. You can't do that. That's so...
What?
You can't make the Indian 7-Eleven Slurpee joke.
Come on, it was bumbling Biden who said that you can't go into Dunkin' Donuts or 7-Eleven without a Pakistani being there.
That is true. I forgot about that. Racist bastard.
Yeah.
He started it.
That's right. Hello, welcome to 7-Eleven. Your gas prices have gone up by 54%.
That's right. I forgot that Biden said that back when he was a senator, right? That's how he really feels about
it. Yeah, and he's running for president. He said it.
Yeah.
Remember, this DNC media just sanitizes everything that he does. So,
Funny, we're the first to report on that. Nobody else has made that connection.
Right.
You are a very smart man.
Oh, my God. And then you got Biden, and you've got the story with regards to the rise in the raising of the Medicare tax. So here again, you've got bumbling buffoon Biden who lied to the American people. He coined the $400,000 number. He used the $400,000. He got into a little bit of a mental breakdown, a brain fart that continues. Well, farting is probably a good word to describe the guy, because that's what he likes to do most now is pass gas. But here the guy gets painted into a corner, and he comes up with this fictitious number of $400,000. If you earn $400,000 or less, you will not see your taxes go up one penny, not one penny. And my name is Joe Biden, and I approve this message. So now he's sticking to this $400,000 earnings. Your taxes aren't going to go up one penny. No, Joe, our taxes have been going up by $5 increments, not a penny, but a $5 increment. And you have the latest with regards to the Medicare tax that this corrupt Congress has passed and proposed by the mental midget in the White House, Joe Biden, raising taxes on Medicare recipients and those people who are earning even less than $400,000 a year are all part of that tax raise.
Right, Medicare Part B standard monthly premiums will rise by nearly $22 to $170.10 next year, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services said. The increase in the Part B premium for 2022 is continued evidence that rising drug costs threaten the affordability and sustainability of the Medicare program. Chiquita Brooks-LaSure. I did not make that up. She's the administrator of the agency. And she said it. Why are drug prices going up?
Blame the drug prices. Right? Blame everybody else. It's always everybody else's fault. And here you have Joe Biden stating that if you earn less than $400,000 a year, you will not see your taxes increase by one penny. And all they do is raise taxes. And this is the same guy, okay, who's proposing to give illegal aliens $450,000 or some near that amount for entering the United States illegally. And instead, our seniors are going to see a 13% rate increase tax increase, mind you, and it's okay. It's okay because it's about higher drug prices. That's what it is. It's okay that we're gonna give, you know, $180 million to Afghanistan. In the meantime, we have seniors struggling to put heating oil in their oil tanks for the winter, and now they're going to struggle for another 15% tax increase on their Medicare. Not to mention the tax increase, but you did say that they're going to see a $22 increase in the deductible to $170.10. So not only are they going to pay more in premium, a tax increase, they're going to see their deductible increase. So they're getting hit with a double whammy right there. But let's build back broke, okay? Let's support the Build Back Broke Act. This guy is bankrupting America and Americans at every level that you can get to. Go ahead.
Yeah. Now, if you're under 65, you're scratching your head going, what the hell is this Medicare stuff? I'm just paying a boatload of money for my regular insurance. But, hey, Medicare is a federal health insurance program for Americans 65 or older, and Americans can start receiving Social Security as early as age 62. So rest easy, because President Biden administration officials pointed out that many Americans covered by Medicare will see a net increase in Social Security benefits. The Social Security Administration announced last month that recipients will get a 5.9% increase in benefits to cover the 12% increase in your Medicare expenses. So your parents and your grandparents who are on Medicare, they're going to come knocking at your door for a few extra dollars so they can at least be covered for their medicines, because you don't want grandma and grandpa to die.
It makes perfect sense to me. 12% rate increase, I'm going to get 5.9% to offset the 12% rate increase. It makes a lot of sense. It's just a lot of sense. And you know, this is another sign. Government, okay, when these Marxists, when these communists, when these progressives tell you that they want to take care of you from cradle to grave, that you're going to get free health care, nothing is free. And the proposal now is for Medicare for all, and this is what happens. Well, we have increased prices with surgeons. We have an increased prices with general practitioners. We have increased prices with drugs. We have increased prices of durable medical equipment. And there's an excuse for everything, but the government's going to give you free health care. We're going to take care of you from cradle to grave. See?
Yeah, they'll take care of you, okay? I got a bridge in Brooklyn I want to sell you.
Hey, how you doing? How you doing?
It's a big lie. The government's not going to take care of you. You got to take care of yourself. But some people want to be coddled. They trust the government. Put on the government diaper and don't worry about a thing.
Yep. Social insecurity, that was going to be your nest egg. That was going to be your safety net. And today people can't live off of social insecurity. Yet we have an anti-American, an anti-constitutional government with the Biden-Harris-Obama regime, and they want to pay illegal aliens. They want to give money to illegal aliens. They want to give money to enemy countries. And instead of taking care of our veterans and our seniors, we're sitting here watching how we're going to give $450,000 to illegal aliens. Who gives a crap? They're here illegally. We have veterans who are starving. We have veterans who need medical care. We have veterans who are suffering from PTSD who need medical care. They're living on the streets of America. Let's take care of our veterans. We ask them to volunteer their services, their lives, to go to war for America. Sometimes senseless wars, but they still serve to fight America, fight for America. And it's time that America starts fighting for them. The buffoon Biden was handed America on a silver platter. Now, you know, we can speculate with regards to the China virus. We certainly can speculate, you know, was this manufactured? Was it man-made? Was it organic? Whatever the case is, the issue was really simple. we had an America that was on the right track. And for whatever reason, it was derailed in order to make Americans dependent again, dependent upon the federal government. And all we're getting is lies out of this current regime and this current Congress. We're getting wasteful spending. And you've got this regime that is aligning itself with other anti-American agenda out there, including the Islamic movement. And it just absolutely is unconscionable what we're seeing from this administration from in just 11 short months of what we're seeing. It is unfreaking believable what we are seeing. These communists in Congress are spending money like drunken sailors, and that's no slight on the drunken sailor. It's unconscionable the way they're spending money. They're taking great pride in this $1 trillion scam.
Oh well, it's Build Back, Broke Act. We're gonna build America back. It's our infrastructure. Yeah, it's our infrastructure. That's what it is. Yeah. It's our infrastructure. People love it. Right?
Shovel ready jobs, Vito. Shovel ready. Yes.
There you go. Yeah, you can dig that, can't you? Shovel ready jobs. Yeah, we can dig that. Oh, man, let's go, Brandon.
Amen. I love that saying. Even my wife likes it. She laughs.
Did you hear
various shots that people are getting now? Cover that. You're okay. You're not gonna get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
Somebody gotta do it. Hey, let's go Brandon. I keep a drum like I'm Nick Cannon. Hey, hey, let's go Brandon. Pandemic ain't real, they just planted. Hey, hey, let's go Brandon. When you ask questions, they start banning. Hey, hey, let's go Brandon. Hey, hey, let's go Brandon. Hey, hey, let's go Brandon. I keep a drum like I'm Nick Cannon. Hey, hey, let's go Brandon. Pandemic ain't.
That was some of Bryson Gray. You know, and it was really interesting about that, that young man is that he's a Christian and he doesn't curse. And so he could not figure out a way to sing a song. And then when this phrase, let's go Brandon, came up, it was like it was the perfect opportunity where he didn't have to curse. And, you know, you got to respect that. Here's a guy who's sticking to his Christian belief system. So, you know, it's Bryson Gray. It's just, let's go Brandon.
Well, as President Biden said, he's quite the Negro, isn't he?
Oh, my God. Oh. Go ahead. Can you believe this guy? And everything that the Democrat Communist Party falsely accused President Trump of is exactly what the Democrat Communist Party is. They are racist. They are fascist. They are bigots. And we have a dictator in the White House. And Dictator Joe uttered some racist comments. Go ahead with the Negro comment.
Let's go to the greatest hits before we hit the number one the number one racist jingle for this month. President Biden said, who was he talking about when he said he's the first mainstream African American who is articulate and bright and clean and a nice looking guy?
Was it Barry Satoru?
Yes, President Obama. Ding 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 ding. All right, here's number two, greatest hits. If you don't know whether you're for me or Trump, then you ain't black.
Ooh.
Unless we do something about this, my children are going to grow up in a jungle, the jungle being a racial jungle. Who said that?
I don't know. Who said that?
I don't know. If you don't know whether you're for me or Trump, then you ain't black.
Oh, wait a minute. That was wasn't that bumbling Joe Biden who said that?
Yes.
Oh.
You are a winner.
You know what?
Get a watermelon and a cherry Slurpee. Now.
Listen, you got to come see us when you come to New York, VP Biden.
I will.
It's a long way until November. We got more questions.
You got more questions. But I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, then you ain't black.
It don't have nothing to do with Trump. It has to do with the fact I want something.
There you go. That was his own words. You know, the worst thing you could do is use bumbling Biden's own words because that's where the truth is. Go ahead.
And now for the last.
All right.
And quote, and I just want to tell you, I know you're a little younger than I am, but you know, I've adopted the attitude of the great Negro at the time pitcher in the Negro Leagues, went on to become a great pitcher in the pros in the Major League Baseball after Jackie Robinson. His name was Satchel Paige. Now, I gotta qualify that.
All right.
Using the term, the Negro was, that was the term of that era. And there were the Negro Leagues, and that was the term of that era. But to use them today in this context, oh, tone deaf like nobody's business. If, let me put it this way. If Trump said this, oh, the NAACP would have been knocking at his front door.
Well, that would mean that the New York Yankees would not go to the White House, because if he used the term Negro, it was Kate Smith who sang the seventh inning shirt, God Bless America, at the New York,
oh, yeah.
The cowardly New York Yankees scrapped, because in 1931 she sang a song that included the word pickaninny. So therefore, they should probably not invite bumbling Biden. They should not go to the White House because he insulted the black man.
And that was a phrase used at that time.
Right. Right. So the woke crowd at the New York Yankees, take note. You are not to go to the White House because Joe Biden is a racist.
Standard, folks. Mm-hmm. Double standard here in Living Color.
That was a funny TV show, Living Color. The Waymans.
Yeah, they were articulate and bright and clean, weren't they?
Yeah.
God, you cannot make this stuff up.
No, you can't. You can't. I mean, it's just one thing. The guy's got diarrhea of the mouth, and it's just amazing the way the DNC media continues to sanitize this man. And it just goes to show that everything that was leveled against President Trump was absolutely BS.
Yep.
You know, from the Russian collusion, now it turns out that it was absolutely a contrived story. It was manufactured by Hillary Rotten Clinton. The Christopher Steele dossier was fabricated, and therefore the charges against the general and Paul Manafort were all manufactured to make sure that they somehow discredit an outsider like Donald Trump and anybody associated with him. That's really the sick part of it, because it was the Obama-Biden administration who engaged in this deceit along with Hillary Rotten Clinton, and yet the DNC media is giving a pass at this. This is unconscionable what we're seeing today. The level of treason that really has infested our Congress, the executive branch of government, especially the Biden-Harris-Obama regime and the Obama-Biden regime. Just very, very corrupt individuals. Never thought we'd ever see this time. They are undermining the American people. They're undermining the United States Constitution. They're undermining our constitutional republic. And they should be in Gitmo is where they should be.
Yeah, well, I got a thought or two on that. This 5-count Durham indictment accuses Russian analyst Igor Danchenko of making multiple false statements to the FBI when interviewed in 2017 about his role in collecting information for Christopher Steele, a former British spy whose research into ties between the Trump campaign and Russia was financed by the Democrats. The Danchenko arrest is big, big news because it exposes the foundation of lies used by federal law enforcement agents, the failed Mueller investigation, and a media intent on using Russiagate as a vehicle for taking down a sitting POTUS, Trump, in a classic Machiavellian style. Now, many papers would add there's been no equal journalistic fervor in reporting on the Russiagate Danchenko lies versus the previously reported hundreds of thousands of times if you Google search Danchenko or Russiagate and the lie and President Trump and the collusion with Russia. At the very least, a journalist mea culpa for reporting lies from unverified sources would be in order, but they're not happening. The media is silent. How many? I can guarantee you, if at least in my local paper, I had one day where I read about Danchenko and the investigation, but that was it. Then it was one and done. Now the days of journalists only reporting who, what, when, where, and why, and how using multiple verified sources are long gone, and that is the state of our media. I mean, we had how many years of Russiagate?
From the very onset. We had it from the onset of the administration.
Yeah, and then that witch trial, the Mueller trial, and Danchenko's name did come up in conservative pieces from investigative journalists who actually dug deep, because these names are not new to me.
Correct. No, and Danchenko's did, and they still avoided it, Al. They avoided the Danchenko name, just like they're avoiding the entire issue, you know, of the Russian collusion. How many millions were spent? It was in excess of $25 mm-hmm. million dollars was spent on a phony Russian collusion?
Yeah.
$25 million.
And all roads lead back to Hillary Clinton panorama. It's disgusting. We're talking about trying to bring down a sitting president.
Yes.
This is unheard of. It makes Watergate look like a nothing burger.
And it was the Democrat Communist Party led by Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff for Brains who came out and stated that you had President Trump was targeting a political opponent. And now you look at exactly what was done to President Trump, okay, in 2016 leading up to the general election. So he was candidate Trump. So now you have Hillary Rodham Clinton going after a political opponent. You have Barack Hussein Sotoro Obama and bumbling Joe Biden administration going after a political opponent because it was Donald Trump who was a political opponent. And he did mm-hmm. receive the Republican nomination. He did accept it. And therefore, you have an administration who was going after a political opponent. And in the Mueller report, on page 2 of the Mueller report, we applied the term coordination in that sense when stating in the report that the investigation did not establish that the Trump campaign coordinated with Russian government in its election interference activities. Page 2 of the Mueller report. Now, for all of Mueller's faults, and certainly I was one to think that Mueller is a corrupt individual, and he certainly could be, but for all of his faults, he had to print the truth in the report. Now, all the rest of the 27 pages of 238 pages of bloviation that's in there, but the fact remains, on page 2, the investigation did not establish that the Trump campaign coordinated with the Russian government, and we know why now, because it was Igor Danchenko, it was Hillary Rodham Clinton, and it was Christopher Steele who manufactured a phony Russian collusion narrative.
Yeah, but the truth doesn't matter.
No, it
doesn't.
It doesn't
matter one lick.
It's all about getting Trump.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, what I read was a letter to the editor that I wrote to my local paper.
Yeah.
And I did a Google search, and I put in Russiagate, my local paper. 18,000 results popped up. And I'm in a small town. 18,000 results popped up on my Google search. And meanwhile, then they have one day where they report this story. Needless to say, my local paper did not print my letter to the editor.
Wow, that's surprising.
Yeah.
That's surprising. So it's all about, basically it's all about getting Trump. It's all about discrediting Trump. It always has been. That has been the end game in this whole thing. Any way you can do is to erase Trump, eradicate Trump policies from the American minds, from the American culture, from the American system, and then put back in place the failed progressive policies that have absolutely been costly to the to Americans. And now we're witnessing that very thing. It's the same old tired failed policies that got us into the mess that we're in. And now they're continuing mm-hmm. because they didn't want to build America back and make America great again.
But the repercussions of this are also very dangerous because our mm-hmm. adversaries, Vito, are becoming more emboldened. And there was a breaking news story today. Space debris forces astronauts on space station to take shelter in return ships. The threat was that the Russians, the communist Russians, fired a missile at a satellite, a defunct satellite of theirs, destroyed it, and the space debris was so bad that seven astronauts on the International Space Station were forced to take shelter in their transport spacecraft early Monday when the station passed uncomfortably close to orbital debris every 90 minutes, according to reports. The space junk passes began in the pre-dawn hours of Monday, and the International Space Stations continue to make close passes to the debris every 90 minutes, according to the experts. And there's two Russians on that space station right now. What kind of repercussions is President Biden, what's he going to do to the Russians for this reckless behavior? Because they never contacted the United States if they were going to fire this missile to destroy their satellite.
Nothing.
This is the shot. This is a shot across the bow for space wars. We were talking about this 2 months ago.
So Pentagon spokesman John Kirby said the immediate concerns debris, which is now floating and could be a danger, including an international space station, including to the internet. We are looking closely at the type of resources that Russia seems to want to develop. Oh, they're looking closely. That gives you a warm and fuzzy, doesn't it?
Makes me scared to death because those assholes just showed the world that they can shoot down not only their satellite, but they can shoot down any satellite. They could shoot down the space station if they wanted to. That's the signal that's scary.
Yep. Yeah, two Russian Chinese were on there. Mm-hmm. Yep. You're right. No, I'm sorry. They're Soyuz specialists too.
Collateral damage.
Yeah.
Does the Chinese space station have offensive laser technology or railgun technology on their platform to fire projectiles back down to Earth or at other competing space-based targets? Does their space platform become an offensive weapon? Yeah, I think they have it. Are we doing the same thing? I don't think so, because last I heard is that the Biden administration was floating the balloon of getting rid of the Space Force,
right,
which is the military application of space technology.
It was the Air Force business, folks.
Yeah, this is serious business that we're just now beginning to hear the beginnings of. So wrap your head around it, Google it, and make yourself familiar with this because this is the new frontier, baby.
I heard the Chinese space station's got great Chinese food. You can get some great egg rolls there.
They have good takeout.
They have good takeout. They got good takeout. One from column A, two from column B. Egg roll, wonton soup, two quarts of pork fried rice. A 15-minute. speaking of China, so my cousin sends me this video, and its name is Dr. Kevin Stillwagon. And what an impactful and articulate man. And he gave the Board of County Commissioners meeting in Orange County, Florida, a run for its money. And I got to tell you, this is a really powerful, you know, commentary. It's 3 minutes. And there's a clock on him. So apparently standing at a podium at this Board of County Commissioners meeting, And he's talking about the China virus. And the interesting thing is you're going to hear the name Mayor Demings. And so in doing some investigation, Mayor Demings is a man by the name of Jerry Demings, who is the husband of Congresswoman Val Demings, you know, the up-and-comer rock star, the Pelosi puppet. And it's you start listening to this, it's all incestuous. But anyways, it's Dr.
She was also on the short list for VP.
That is correct. That is correct. That's what makes this whole thing intriguing, and it's worth playing. But this is Dr. Kevin Stowag, and he's talking about the China virus, and he really lays out a pretty interesting scenario. So take 3 minutes.
My name is Dr. Kevin Stillwagon. I am a property owner and a taxpayer in Orange County. You are making some really bad decisions based on fear of a virus that has about a 99% survival rate for most of us. That is unsubstantiated fear. So let me give you a couple of things to truly be fearful about. That mask that you keep insisting that people wear decreases the amount of oxygen in your lung tissue. We now know that this virus uses something called a furin cleavage site to merge with your lung tissue to infect you. And it works better with decreased oxygen. And peer-reviewed research clearly shows that wearing a mask increases your chances of developing an upper respiratory infection 13 times more than a person not wearing a mask. So I would stop wearing a mask immediately if I were you. Secondly, this shot that you insist on people getting gives you absolutely no protection against infection. It is the innate immune system that protects you from infection by using dendritic cells, T cells, and natural killer cells without antibodies ever becoming involved. This shot has one goal, and that goal is to make antibodies. These antibodies circulate inside of you and cannot prevent an infection. They can only react to something that has already gotten inside of you. They cannot keep something out. The shot decreases the ability of your innate immune system to keep viruses out by 60%, and a booster shot will reduce it even more. Even worse, the antibodies that are created by this shot can no longer neutralize variants and actually enhance the virus ability to infect you. It should be painfully obvious to you by now that fully vaccinated people are getting sick. And this will continue to get worse if you keep trying to jab people while a virus is trying to spread. The variants are emerging from the vaccinated population. This so-called vaccine is still being administered on what's called an emergency use authorization. It is not FDA approved. The FDA approved a biological licensing application for a product called Comirnaty. The application was approved, not the product. Comirnaty is not available in the United States. Therefore, by law, you cannot force people to take this drug without informed consent and without animal trials to prove that it is safe. Mayor Demings, please look at me.
Ooh.
You, sir, are in violation of the United States Constitution and the Nuremberg Code. You will be held accountable. Good day.
All right. Thank you for your comment.
Wow. Wow. So stop wearing a mask. It does absolutely zero good. Huh. Where did I hear that before? Somebody I know pretty close who said that wearing a mask to combat the China virus, it's like putting a chain link fence up to stop mosquitoes from coming into your house.
No,
that was you. That was you.
I stole that from somebody much smarter than me. But yeah,
yeah, well,
that's a great
you managed
line.
To say it. Yeah, I thought it was very interesting, and then it was Mayor Deming's look at me. It's like, you know that he didn't want to look at anybody, especially after that commentary. Whoa.
You probably wanted to throw him right in the hook sow.
Well, you know, it's funny that more and more physicians now are coming out about the China virus vaccine. You've got more and more people are succumbing to the jab or developing side effects from the jab, heart-related side effects. My father-in-law also, I believe, had exacerbated some heart issues. You've got pilots who are dying, blood clots from getting the jab. As Holger stated, that it was the jab now is only lasting like 2 months, and so now you're getting a booster shot, which are two jabs in one. You've got Dr. Trazi, .org, has quoted a South African interviewed a South African physician, and who basically said similar things that Dr. Stillwagon stated with regards to the gene therapy. Dr. Shankara Chetty is a world expert on the science and treatment of COVID-19. He goes into detail on the makeup of the shots. You know, you've got Dr. Stillwagon talking seriously about getting rid of masks. They do no good. They actually harm you instead of help you. And it's just, it's amazing how this government has programmed, and actually how the world body has programmed people and instilled fear. And one other point with regards to instilling fear, you got bumbling Biden going out and he is indicting all Americans who are unvaccinated as being the cause of transmission, when in fact that's absolutely false. That is not a rational statement. That is just fear-mongering by a bumbling fool in the White House who has done nothing, has never been honest his entire life, at least his entire political life. You have people who are literally dying from getting the jab. And within 2 months, within several months, 2, 3, 4 months, you have the vaccine is wearing off and people are contracting the China virus, including those that have been vaccinated. Well, once you get vaccinated, you won't have to worry about wearing a mask. And once you get vaccinated, you can get back to your normal life. And once you get vaccinated, you won't get the China virus. And it's just make up a narrative as you go along, but make sure the people submit. And in the meantime, you got Biden blaming the unvaccinated as for the reason for the transmission. And then you find out in the dead of night, this administration is transporting illegal aliens, unvaccinated, infected around cities and towns in the United States. They're seeing a 63% increase in the China virus in Vermont. Vermont. Think about that. Vermont. I did a little investigation into Vermont. And did you know that Vermont is a huge state who takes migrants? It's a huge state. It's somehow, for some reason, Burlington, Vermont, and the surrounding area, they take all types of immigrants. And if this administration is dishonest enough to deceive the American people, it's dishonest enough to be transporting illegal aliens in the dead of night to cities and towns where we live. And these people are unvaccinated. There is no vetting process. Don't get caught up in this smoke and mirrors by this communist regime in Washington, D.C. if you truly believe that they are actually vetting people. And New York State's another one. New York State, New Jersey, Vermont. And now Vermont seeing a 63% spike in the China virus. How could that be? when you have close to 90% of the people or more than 90% of the people in Vermont are vaccinated? Well, yes, it is flu season.
You can't handle the truth.
It is the transmissions are directly from this administration's design to blame the unvaccinated. And in the meantime, they're transporting illegal aliens throughout the United States. And we're seeing these increases in these spikes. When you've got 2.1 million illegal aliens penetrating our border, coming into the United States, and then you have this administration facilitating the transportation and the relocation of illegal aliens. And I believe it was Alan West, Colonel Alan West, who was also talking about the administration flying planes out of McAllen, Texas, to places in America unknown, and they're flying illegal aliens throughout the U.S. And you sit there and you wonder why transmissions are on the rise. In the meantime, you got to get vaccinated. You better be vaccinated. You're going to get fired from your job if you're not vaccinated. I just read a story where I guess police officers are transferring down to Florida in droves and taking Governor DeSantis's offer to work in Florida with no mandates. This is one of the biggest ruses that we've ever seen, Al. I never thought we would ever see this in our lifetime, and we're being hustled, and they have the perfect buffoon to do that. This guy is brain dead. He doesn't care. All he does is they give him a teleprompter, read from it, and you know what? He's programmed enough to read from it to not show any emotion. And heaven forbid he varies from that script. The powers to be do hold their breath because you never know what's going to come out of this guy's mouth. And it's really sad, and it's sickening, and frankly it's flat out un-American. And Americans have had enough. And people like Dr. Stillwater, that you know, people, other doctors are starting to speak out. Dr. Corey has been a proponent of treating with ivermectin. And you've got these clowns at CNN, DNC, CNN, and DNC, MSNBC, who refer to ivermectin as a horse drug. Yet those ignoramuses will sit there and you know, they discount the fact that people are dying from the vaccine. I mean, you want to talk about doing the bidding for these people. It's exactly what DNC, CNN is doing. They're doing the bidding for these Marxists in the White House. And it's pretty damn sickening what we're seeing today. It's time to open up America. It's time to open up the economy. And if the economy is coming back and more people are going back to work, and according to the buffoon Biden, they're creating so many jobs, then why are we having problems with supply issues in America? Huh? See, this is an absolute scam. And they're going to restrict travel. You've got Austria invoking a 10-day quarantine now, a mandatory quarantine for unvaccinated. That's the world body invoking their oppressive ways, their tyrannical ways. And I can anticipate that the buffoon Biden's going to do the same thing as you start reading about Massachusetts, the rate's up, Vermont's up, New Hampshire is up. And you know what? No one's talking about the illegal aliens who are being transported around the United States, and suddenly we're seeing these spikes and these rises, you know, in the China virus. And it's no coincidence. There's nothing like a coincidence. Joe Biden is flat out dishonest, and he's been dishonest his whole political life, including when he was banging Jill Stevenson. He was dishonest about that as well.
You mean Dr. Jill?
Oh, yes, Dr. Jill. Yes, Dr. Jill Stevenson. That's right. Yes.
What, he was banging her when he was married to wife number one?
Yes, he was. She worked on his campaign.
Ooh. And then wife number one and a couple of kids, they died in a car accident.
One, the daughter did. Well, yeah, the three kids were in the car when they were hit. First of all, the narrative by by bumbling Biden was, is that they were hit by a drunk driver, which was absolutely false. That was a lie. She pulled out in front of a truck. They were hit by a dump truck or some sort of large truck. I don't know if it was an 18-wheeler or what. But she pulled out in front of the truck, and it was after he got elected to the first got elected to the U.S. Senate. He wasn't a senator yet, but he won that race. And guess who worked on his campaign when he was running for the United States Senate? Joe Stevenson.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. And he crashed her. Matter of fact, he had an accident with her Corvette. And the account that I read was that he wrecked the Corvette. He hit another vehicle. They said, don't file with insurance. They'll pay for it. And, of course, and Joe is a liar. He reneges on that. So the guy that got his vehicle damaged by Stevenson and Biden sees Bill Stevenson, which is Jill Stevenson's husband, and says, hey, you're going to take care of my car. And he doesn't know anything about it. And he found out that Joe Biden was driving the Corvette that struck his vehicle, and Jill Stevenson was in the car. So, you know, this whole thing, Biden has not been an honest man. He's not an honest man.
Hey, at least the Kennedy wasn't driving.
Yeah. Well, we'll cross that bridge, you know, when we get to it.
Chappaquiddick.
Yep. Chappaquiddick. Oh my God. I was talking to a guy who worked in Boston, and he'd been there his whole life, and he used to he was part of a row team, and they would try to row boats in that, where in the Chappaquiddick, where the car, when Ted Kennedy's car went over, and Ted Kennedy claimed that he swam that river, and you know, to get back, and this guy, and you know what, I didn't know him from Adam, so you know, I knew him. I talked to him on several occasions, different occasions, but always over the phone, and we finally met in person, and he said, there's no way, shape, or form that guy swam that river. There's no way. He goes, I couldn't even with three of us in a crew boat, we couldn't row the damn thing, let alone this guy swim against the current. Yeah.
What good data points.
Yeah. So it's interesting. So, hey, some other news, Allah Akboom news. In the UK, you alluded to it earlier in the show, cops arrest a fourth man over Liverpool jihad suicide bombing. And you got to wonder if that fourth man, if it was four Mormons, or was it four Protestants, or maybe the man was a Jewish man. But what possible could the man's ethnicity be? So he had an IED, an improvised explosive device, in a taxi cab, and it was a premature detonation. You want to go into that a little bit more?
Well, Jihad Watch reports police are investigating a terror incident outside a hospital in Liverpool, have named the man killed in the blast as 32-year-old Ahmad Al Swilmeen. What do you think his nationality is? Well, he said, our inquiries are very much ongoing, but at this stage we strongly believe that the deceased is a 32-year-old Imad Al-Swilmeen. He said Al-Swilmeen is connected to both the Rutland Avenue and Sutcliffe Street addresses, where searches are still taking place. Police believe he lived in Sutcliffe. Our focus is the Rutland Avenue address. And one person died, another was injured in the explosion outside Liverpool's Women's Hospital on Sunday, which I did not know. The cab driver escaped with his life with shrapnel injuries, lost part of his ear and hearing. The cabbie
The cabbie did get injured then, but he got away.
Oh, yeah. Oh, barely. He was driving the guy going to another location, but there was too much security or something, and then the Al Swilmeen said, turn around, let's go back towards the city center, and he said, take me to the hospital. So he did, and then the guy started fiddling around with something. He seemed very unusual. And then he got out of his car, locked the car doors, and then kaboom.
I'm not laughing. The cab driver knew. He absolutely knew.
He said something did not seem right, and he got the hell out of there and escaped with just his life. Very lucky man. And this is Jihad. Jihad. It is obligatory. This man will go to heaven, and if you follow Islamic doctrine and theology, then this man is fighting on to further the cause of Islam. And in fact, Quran verse 9:111 states, indeed, Allah has brought from the believers their lives and their wealth because the garden will be theirs. They will fight in the way of Allah and will kill and be killed, according to Robert Spencer. Thank you, Robert Spencer, and Sky News.
Chapter 4, verse 71, or you have believed, take your precautions. So go to war in separate groups or go to war altogether. And I would say that the jihadist in that taxi was going to war in separate groups. Going to the women's hospital in Liverpool and detonating an IED, even though it was premature, it just goes to show that he was following the word of Allah. Or chapter 4, verse 84, so engage in war for the sake of Allah. Lay not burdens on any but yourself and provoke the believers. An interesting thing is when you talk about provoking the believers, in the United Kingdom, Al, there are 43,000 Middle Easterners on the terror watch list. And do you know that these 43,000, it did not include the Liverpool Islamic terrorists? So how many Islamic jihadists are walking around the United Kingdom? How many are walking around Spain that are not on that terror watch list? How many are walking around the United States that are on this terror watch list? And certainly you don't have Hamas care denouncing the crass terrorist bombing, the act of jihad. Jihad means to war against non-Muslims, page 599, Reliance of the Traveler. You have these Islamic jihadists who are flying under the radar, and or like in the Francis situation, they were watching. The authorities were watching this individual who ended up stabbing four people and killing one, or beheading one and injuring four. Okay?
Well,
wait a minute.
How can the police even monitor this many people, this many suspects that are on this list? It would be virtually impossible for any law enforcement, police force, to monitor and have detectives on this many individuals. There's no way.
Well, you know, it goes back to the word assimilation. And this is where one is labeled an Islamophobe when you bring this up. And truly, you know, you have to commend the migrants who come to, let's just say, America legally. You've got people who come to the United States and immigrate to the United States, and they do it legally. They do it the right way. And they, not only when they immigrate, they assimilate. They embrace the United States of America. They embrace the Constitution. They embrace the culture. They don't have to give up their own identity, but they do embrace their new homeland. And you and I have many friends and know of people who have migrated to America, and I'm sure people in the chat room do as well. I have good friends who migrated from South America and have migrated from other Middle Eastern countries, named Israel and Europe. I have two great friends who migrated from Europe, and they adopted
legally.
They migrated legally. One of my friends from South America, and he went the business route, but did it legally and invested over $150,000 in a business venture. He did that legally, and he still has that business today, 20 years later. And he's employed 27 people consistently for the last 10 years. Now, he paid his dues. He's embraced America. He's kept his native tongue as far as he speaks two languages. He speaks English fluently, and he speaks his home country language, but he loves America. He loves the opportunity that America afforded. And again, he assimilated into the culture of America. And that's what's missing with the Islamic migration to America, because it's not about migration to America and assimilate. It's not about assimilating to the United Kingdom culture. It's not about assimilating into the Netherlands. It's not about assimilating into Sweden. It's about domination. And when you talk about that, you're an Islamophobe. And you have these Muslim Brotherhood front groups who have infiltrated, let's say, the United States of America, like Hamas Care. They take great pride in saying we're the largest Muslim civil rights group in America. Well, yeah, they're the only Muslim civil rights group in America. And they still defrauded their fellow Muslims with hiring a fake attorney and bilking their fellow Muslims out of tens of thousands of dollars from people who wanted to migrate to America. We don't hear anything from from Hamas Care with regards to, let's say, this bombing and denouncing this bombing in Liverpool, or how about the Pulse nightclub, okay, in down in Orlando, Florida, where 49 people were killed by an Islamic jihadist. Hamas Care spent what, a whole 35 seconds in a 4-minute press conference. And the rest of the majority of the press conference was to talk about the repercussions to Muslims, which never happened, which never happens. It doesn't happen. But the idea is to create a victimhood status. And as soon as you talk about that, you are a Islamophobe. You're a xenophobe. You're a thisophobe. You're a thatophobe. But if it comes down to vetting these people, these Muslims who pervert the religion. Remember, this is, we're told also that they perverted the religion. You know, the Farouk and Saeed, who killed 14 of their fellow employees in San Bernardino, they perverted the religion. You didn't condemn that. It was about assimilation. It's about integration. And then you have, you know, you've got Linda Sarsour going to the 55th annual ISNA convention and telling her fellow Muslims, there's 1,000 Muslims in attendance, and telling them not to assimilate to America. This is the message that we try to get across. And you know what? It doesn't matter that you practice Islam. That's not the issue. The issue is you assimilate. And there are plenty of Muslims who do assimilate, but where is the largest Muslim civil rights group demanding assimilation? Instead, they're fighting the system. Why? Because they're worried about domination. It is about domination. Omar Ahmad stated, Omar Ahmad of CARE, Islam is not in America to be equal, but to become dominant. The Quran, the Muslim book of scripture, should be the highest authority in America, and Islam the only accepted religion on earth. When you elevate the Quran over the U.S. Constitution, you're talking about domination. End of story. That's my
well stated. Well stated. Well, your girlfriend, Ghislaine Maxwell, is still alive and in the news.
Really?
She'll be going on trial later this she'll be going on trial later this month, but she has been using doubles and lookalikes in order to avoid the media, going from safe house to safe house. But who's also been on trial this week, as I'm sure everybody knows, is the young 17-year-old Wisconsin hero, I think. He went into the middle of riots in Wisconsin to help save his friends' businesses who were under fire from rioters, Antifa and BLM, ended up shooting two, killing two, wounding one. Well, he's been on trial. Today is his last day. Defense had arguments, and it looks like the prosecution is going to lose, as they should. Thank God for video.
Oh, they ate it up, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
The video really showed a lot, or told a lot.
Yeah. 17-year-old kid, very poised, handled himself extremely well, and hopefully the jury will come back with a proper verdict of not guilty, and then they'll go after the people that attacked him, at least the one that's living with his arm blown off, and then file charges against him and throw him in jail.
That one really blew up in their face when the prosecution's own witness confirmed exactly what happened, huh?
Yeah, he was a felon with a gun. He never should have had a gun. And then he admitted on the stand that he did raise his gun and he was under threat and he shot and fired and that was that.
Tell you that. Democrat Communist Party truly hates our Constitution. They hate our constitutional republic. And as Ducky says in the chat rooms, drain the swamp. You're damn right to drain the swamp. Enough is enough.
Oh, one more thing. And the prosecution brought an AR-15 into the courtroom, and the prosecutor had his finger on the trigger with a gun without a... normally you'll put a little flag in the chamber to show that it's not loaded. He violated gun safety rules.
I'll tell you, the left wing is comical, if not sad. You know, here they are, they're telling you how to live your life. In the meantime, they can't even do it themselves, including wearing masks. You know, and they can't heed their own edicts. But boy, let the peons make sure that they do. Okay, keep them all entrenched and indentured to the federal government. Hey, tomorrow night, we've got the Crossing the Crescent with Eric from Kafiristan, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Wednesday, Hank Jones and Poly Sports. I'm sure we'll be talking college football, 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. A little bit of a wrench in there, huh? Oklahoma Sooners lost this past weekend. Paul Sutliff with the Sutliff Report, The Cancer of Civilization Jihad is his newest book. Pick it up at Amazon.com. Check out Paul's show at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Friday, you've got Andrew Harrod with Conservative Casual Friday, 12 p.m. Eastern Time. He's got some great guests as well. Saturday, Minister Simon Dakduk and the Beautiful Christie revealing the truth about Islam, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And Sunday, Eric from Kafiristan with the Cross the Crescent, the Interfaith Dialogue. It is the real Interfaith Dialogue. What we talked about briefly today with Korean 471, 484, with 9-11, 9-5, chapter 9-5. Eric goes into it in more detail. Monday and Alan, I'll be back with at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Monday. And check out some other shows on Blog Talk Radio, including G-Ski and Dave, Airwaves America, Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And again, please keep G-Ski in your prayers, please. Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio, she's in the chat room right now, 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time on Friday afternoons with her great sidekick, Curtis. And Tuesday, tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, Chief Simple Facts of Life on Blog Talk Radio. Audrey Russo on Thursdays with Real Talk at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, audreyrusso.com and RUSSO.com. And if you want a break from politics, if you want a break from Islam, check out the Simone Nicole Show Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Spreaker.com. That's Spreaker.com. That is Blog Talk Radio's sister company. And it's a great self-help show. The music is kind of but the but Joshua does a great job. And check out Joshua's show on Simone Nicole's show. Al, any potting shots?
And as Greta Thunberg says, there is no blah, 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 blah on Blog Talk Radio. Adios, amigos.
Hey, check out Bigfoot's blogspot, www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. It was for God. Sorry, Big. Great blogspot. Check it out. And Sue from New Mexico, thank you, Sue, for all you do. And I'm glad you're doing well. And again, prayers are with you, Sue. Ladies and gentlemen, be safe out there. Thank you for joining our show. We'll see you next week. Ciao, everybody.
That's all, folks.
What? Great timing. You are a professional. You are a professional.
I can read a clock. I can read a clock.
Read a what?
A clock.
Well, that's your own business.
Oh, that, you know what? I got to say that Howard Stern bit with the Korean clock lady. That is absolutely hysterical. We can fix our big cock in a...
But I tell you, he has gone off the hinges. I was listening to him again, and this thing with the COVID and his politics, and he's getting very difficult to listen to anymore. He's not funny. He's become the FCC.
Isn't it amazing? You know, his whole radio life, he's actually opened up the door for internet radio, didn't he? He opened up the door for people to speak their minds freely without fear of persecution. Mm-hmm. And from like the fascists of Facebook and the fascists of Twitter who are monitoring speech, and he's become that oppressive guy.
Yeah.
I think
stupid people should be free to talk as much as they want. I think racists should be free to talk as much as they want because they always come out sounding like such assholes. The more they talk, let them talk. And then you have the right to talk twice as loud and twice as much against them, and that's how it should be. Once they start silencing us, and with this Wuhan virus is example number one, where you couldn't even say Wuhan virus without it being offensive and getting yelled at. And then with Aaron Rodgers getting thrown through the coals, who, by the way, has recovered nicely from his COVID.
Oh, man. Yeah, except for one thing. Did you notice that State Farm dropped him? Have you seen what? I haven't seen a commercial yet with State Farm with Aaron Rodgers. Now it's all black. Jake from State Farm is black. Yeah, the Negro guy. You've got Mahomes is black. So now they've gone total woke.
He's a light-skinned black.
The fact is that they've ditched Aaron Rodgers. So he's become a liability to State Farm. So they've gone woke.
So racist.
It really is. You know, isn't it ironic that it's now fashionable to be a racist? It's okay. You know, the trials and tribulations that the black Americans have gone through for the last 60 years, and now it's okay to spew racist stuff. It's okay for LaJuan James to spew racist stuff. I don't want any white friends. I don't like white people. Really, it was the white man who actually elevated you to king status, because of it was the white man who along with the black man, along with the Chinese man, along with the yellow man and the red man, who actually lauded your play. Because you know what? No one really cared that you were black. But now he made black an issue. And he gets away with stating, I don't want any black friends. I don't have any white friends. I don't want any white friends. Really.
Well, they made
and it was okay that we spent $110 on your stupid ass jersey, you fucking racist.
Well, they made Rittenhouse a white nationalist. I think even Biden called him a white nationalist. Rittenhouse shot three white people, even though he was kicked in the head by a black individual that was there. He didn't shoot him.
Well, why?
And meanwhile, he doesn't have a white any ties to the KKK or neo-Nazis. 0.0. And I hope he sues all these news agencies for defamation, including the sitting president of the United States, Joseph Biden.
Isn't it fashionable to to call someone a white supremacist if they support gun rights, if they're exercised their Second Amendment. It doesn't matter that they're not a white nationalist or a white supremacist. It's the only thing that matters is that they are labeled a white supremacist because they support the Second Amendment of the United States Constitution. So it's important to go ahead and to demagogue those people and to make them out to be pariahs and the enemy of the state, because that's what the communists do. They make sure that they classify people enough to where you intimidate them into being right wing fanaticals, or you classify them to be white nationalists because they're exercising their Second Amendment right.
Yep.
I know. I'm going down a road, and I don't like the road that we're down. I don't like what the progressive, the liberal movement is doing. To me, the Democrat Party is the Democrat Communist Party. They're invoking Marxist policies. They're intolerant. They're fascists. They despise the First Amendment, freedom of speech, and suddenly freedom of speech is no longer applicable, and it's all suspended due to the Wuhan virus. And you know, that's what's really sad, and this is why the dumbing down of America was perfect by the progressive movement over the last 50 years, because you stop teaching the U.S. Constitution, and people really don't know what it means. You know, you shouldn't really say mean stuff. You know who's going to Florida State to speak next week? Ben Shapiro. And now there's protesting Ben Shapiro speaking, okay, exercising free speech at Florida State University. They're going after Ben Shapiro for going to Florida State, your alma mater. You believe that?
I would go see him. I was anywhere close.
Well, you know what, Al? It's unfortunate, but they're probably gonna have the guy or suspend his reschedule his speaking engagement at Florida State. There's that much fervor against him speaking. Why? Why? There's free speech in America. This guy has done nothing wrong, and all he's espousing is a different view from the radical left-wing anti-American belief system. And suddenly he can't speak freely at Florida State University. But that's just, it's not just Florida State. It's, you know, we all know, you know, the colleges and universities around the United States where this is happening to conservatives on a regular basis. So don't tell me that Donald Trump is a fascist or a dictator. The left wing are the fascists and the dictators. They're intolerant, they're oppressive, and they're hateful people. There's nothing democratic about the Democrat Party. Nothing democratic about the Democrat Party. Nothing.
Because they're Marxists. There's a lot Marxism going on there.
Just like that dumbass, oh, my God, what an absolute nonsensical answer, Jayapal. What an absolute bloviating buffoon she is. And you got Chuck Todd going, you know, it reminded me of Don Rickles, you know, when he on Johnny Carson. I mean, what a buffoon to sit there and to agree with her as well.
Well, that's what makes Let's Go Brandon so great.
That's right. Let's go Brandon.
Various shots that people are getting now cover that. You're not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
Somebody got to do it.
Somebody got to do it.
Hey, let's go, Brandon. I keep a let's drum like Brandon. I'm Nick Cannon. Hey, let's go, Brandon. Pandemic ain't real, they just planted. Let's go, Brandon. You ask questions, they start banning. Let's go, Brandon. Let's go, Brandon. Let's go, Brandon. I keep a drum like I'm Nick Cannon. Let's go, Brandon. Pandemic ain't real, they just planted. Let's go, Brandon. You ask questions, they start banning. Let's go, Brandon. Let's go, Brandon.
My answer to Jeff about the spread, it was lies.
I remember
how you wrote, but you haven't opened your eyes. These politicians are demons just in disguise.
You know,
Peloton block. Let's go, Brandon.
Did they really?
They blocked.
Peloton did.
Yeah.
The bicycle thing, Peloton?
Yeah, the fitness company. Peloton blocked members from being able to use the hashtag Let's Go Brandon.
How is that possible?
It's hateful, offensive, or obscene speech is strictly forbidden on the Peloton service. This includes any leaderboard names, locations, profile pictures, blah, 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 blah. Somehow, Let's Go Brandon is, what if you lived in Brandon, Tennessee?
Brandon, Missouri.
Yeah, there too. I just kind of made up Tennessee, but I don't know if there is one.
No, Brandon, Missouri.
Yeah. Hey, so, my nephew, Brandon. But I can't say, Let's go, Brandon, or at a baseball or football game.
That's right. See, so when your nephew is at bat, what do you say, Let's go, Brandon, and then everybody throws you out?
Yeah. They throw their Cokes at me, and it's embarrassing.
Oh, my God. So it was okay to yell, fuck Trump. It was okay to call Trump all kinds of names. It was okay to curse and swear at Donald Trump. But Let's go, Brandon, is not even a curse word.
Right.
I mean, Let's go, Brandon.
That's the beauty of it. The Marxists don't know how to handle it because they can't handle it because you say it, but everybody knows what it really means, even though what you're saying is okay. It's beautiful.
Right. It really is.
And it just grew because that one NBC reporter tried to change reality. She tried to gaslight America is what she did. She tried to gaslight America, and it blew up in her face.
That's the beauty of it. That's the beauty. The sanitizing. We get the constant sanitizing in the United States, especially, you know, when it comes down to the left wing's actions, it's okay and it's excused. Their actions are excused. And Donald Trump was a bad guy and F Donald Trump and it was okay and it was fashionable to curse out the president of the United States. But it's okay because I don't have any against the office, it's just the man behind it. Oh, okay. So let's go Brandon and now you're threatened, your livelihood's threatened now if you happen to use it. And then you look at these rappers, and the rappers are having a field day with Let's Go Brandon. I think I spent 2 hours on Sunday or Saturday listening to Let's Go Brandon. My niece says, you got to listen to this stuff. It's like, you're crazy. And it's like, oh, my God. There's Brandon Gray and several other rappers are really, one guy really was pretty vulgar. I was going to upload that one, but that's probably not too cool. But he hit it out of the park. Joe Biden.
Yep, NBC sports reporter Kelly Stavast. Stavast? How do you pronounce it? Kelly Stavast? She's
Stavast?
Questioning NASCAR driver Brandon Brown. when he went at Talladega and the crowd was chanting F Joe Biden. I'll say it, fuck Joe Biden, and phrases him popping up all over at sporting events. So she tried to cover it up by saying, let's go Brandon. Let's try to gaslight America.
I got to tell you, I was watching that race. I was watching it. I was watching the interview. And I heard her say, oh, look, listen to the fans are saying, let's go, Brandon. And I thought, honestly, Al, I'm looking at the TV, I'm going, that's they're not saying, let's go Brandon. And I started laughing, and it's like, the next thing you know is like, then it became a story. I mean, quickly, it's like, I was like, it kind of took me back. It's like, they're not saying, let's go Brandon. And then
yeah,
I thought,
and
well,
the rapper
maybe they
you were.
Were
playing, yeah, the rapper, is it Loza Alexander? Is that the name of the rapper?
Who's... Yes. Yeah.
Well, he's already sold more than 500,000 units on Apple Music, hitting number one on the platform's rap and hip-hop chart.
Oh, my God. You gotta
TikTok,
love it.
Which hosted the music video, vowed to ban the track as bullying.
Oh,
the Chinese. Bullying? TikTok Chinese are bullying their friend Joe Biden, so they're going to remove it.
That is funny. Oh, my God. I mean, how much more phony can the left wing be? I mean, they are the epitome of oppressors. They really are. The intolerance from these fragile snowflakes. And, oh, it's okay, though, that they berated, you know, President Trump and any Trump follower or anybody who supported President Trump and his policies, and now these phonies and anti-American frauds, anti-constitutional frauds are all got their snowflakes in a wad.
Yeah. Mike Cervenich.
Yes.
Yeah, he said it well. He said, the Let's Go Brandon, he said, it's catchy and it's clean. He added, it lets people not comfortable with foul language take up its partisan message. It's what you want in art. You want to singe without being a complete reprobate.
It's so true. That's why I like Brandon Gray's when I heard his story that he's a Christian rapper who doesn't like, yeah. He doesn't curse in any of his rap. And it's like, he likes this song because it doesn't curse. It's like, that's a cool guy. I respect that guy.
Yeah, it's unheard of in the rap world, pretty much.
I hope it goes platinum. And what are they going to do?
I don't know. It puts the LGB to new meaning. As being gay by LGB. Let's go, Brandon.
Oh, I got that. You know, I put that up.
What?
LGB. 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 LGB.
They say
LGB
everywhere.
All right, let's go.
LGB.
What it means?
I don't know.
LGB.
Whatever it is.
LGB.
Kamala, help me.
Please.
Please.
Alrighty then.
LGB.
That Let's Go Brandon, right?
LGB.
This means Let's Go Brandon.
No.
LGB.
Sounds like Let's Go Brandon, I guess.
LGB.
Alright.
Let's Go Brandon.
Chant
LGB.
Right wing and left wing.
LGB.
Go, you know the thing.
LGB.
If you don't sing,
step back.
LGB.
And you claim black.
LGB.
Let's go, Brandon.
LGB.
Let's go, Brandon.
LGB.
Let's go, Brandon.
FJB.
Let's go,
Brandon.
I'm Joe Biden, and I forgot this message.
Vito,
yeah.
Did you upload this?
I did.
Oh, shoot. You should start next Monday's show with this.
I will. I will definitely do that.
Like,
you like it?
I like this.
I did, too.
I like this much better than the rap one, frankly.
I do, too. I like because I can. You can understand it.
Yeah.
No offense to Bill here, but I just
some Yahoos guy did it themselves. They had a few beers and did it. I like Biden going, "Let's go, Brandon." That was great. How
Isn't
did they
it?
Put that together? Yeah.
Oh my God, it's hysterical.
That's
All
a
right.
winner. You should open. You should think about opening up next week with that.
Definitely, definitely. It's done. I'm glad you said something about that. I forgot that I put it up. I uploaded it yesterday. So.
Good job.
All right.
All right.
All
well,
right.
You have a good evening.
Yeah,
and
you
a great
as well,
week.
Man. Yeah, I hope so. Right, well. Been tough. So, all right. You have a good one. And
all right. Hit him well.
Yeah, you too. All right. And
all right,
Sue, you take
you.
Care of yourself. And nice, very nice
yes.
to see you in the chat room. And again, prayers are with you. And I'm glad you're back. So we'll
good.
Talk to you.
You're
soon.
An angel, Sue. We love you.
All right.
That's all, folks.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio.